Hey, what's up, Andy? No, not much. Just editing a podcast. You want me to... Are you serious? Dude, I got a ton of shit to... Fine. All right, I'll take care of it. All right, I'll talk to you later.
Fuck!
It's not enough that I got to put music behind you. Yeah, and then go ahead and introduce the emails, like, you know we can't come up with one this week. Just give it to Steve and have him do it. Oh, Steve.
Aries, tell them where they can find us.
Yo, Spearsburg Pod, Instagram, Spearsburg Pod, Patreon, Spearsburg Pod, YouTube, Spearsburg Pod, Facebook, Spearsburg Pod, Instagram, everything.
Is Spearsburg Pod.
Yes.
And?
Hits 101.
Very good.
There we go.
Look how good we are today.
Smooth,
baby. We're getting our stuff done.
Yeah. Hey, what's happening, y'all? Welcome to the email. Aries digestion episode.
Why is it so much more on the email podcast? That you,
what do you mean? It's on all.
You digest more though on the email podcast.
I didn't know that there was a difference.
It seems like there is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, pay attention and let's
get
have rolled. A count. Yeah. before we begin, just let y'all know they're coming for your boy. Scarface balcony scene. You fuck with me, you fucking with the best, Mighty Kong. I sent out a post, excuse me, throat clearance, all that. I sent out a post talking about this young generation of rap, and I don't understand how these guys aren't fucking bored with the same sound, the same melody, the same cadence, the same everything.
Same song.
Same song, same rap style. Yeah, auto-tune. And at first, the responses was pretty much, and majority of responses still is people from my generation and older who actually understood where I was coming from. But since then, since yesterday, I think the post has been picked up by the Shade Room and has gone a little bit viral. So now all the youngins are coming for me. Shut the fuck up, old head, you old ass nigga. And some people are going, there is real rap out there. You just have to dig deep. It's in the underground. Well, I'm sorry, but I come from an era where quality rap, great rap, you didn't have to dig for it. It was the abundance, and it was available to you, and it was out there. That was the norm. That was the majority. You had to actually dig to find whack niggas. And whack niggas stayed hidden because they was whack niggas. Now it's the reverse. The diamonds are in the dirt. You got to dig in the dirt to find the diamonds because the majority of what you hear is the garbage. So, you know, old dog, new tricks. I'm not digging for the bone when the bone is served to me. My food comes in a dish with my name on it. I don't go digging for the food. You hear me? So, let's begin.
You should do a little rap on that in the style that they'd understand.
Oh, I can't do it in that style because I don't speak garbage.
Yeah, but you do the but.
I don't think the gobble for the gobble for the rap. And then the rap in the rap. All the rap in the trash, gotta find it. I'm an old school nigga with the old and the fume. Then you kill me. All right. Let's dive in.
That makes me happy.
Oh, boy. This is from our boy, Rand. I'm going to read that, but that was an odd one. All right, Randfoots. Randfoot, Gods of Men. Yo, what up, Aries and Andy? It's me again, Randfoots. And I was compelled to write this email from my brother, Aries Spears. Andy, you still cool. But I had to address this on Aries' behalf. I was genuinely ecstatic to find out that you were doing Mike Tyson's podcast. I was happy for you, my guy. I know how much of a hero Mike is to you, and then you posted on Instagram that it didn't happen. I was shocked. To me, that's fucked up. Mike Tyson is a hero in your eyes, and he let you down. Maybe it was on some political shit. Maybe Joe Rogan influenced his decision. I don't think that had anything to do with it, dog, but who knows. Who knows? He even says, who knows? Yes. I said this to say that in our eyes, celebrities are gods, and we forget they eat, sleep, and piss just like us. They may have more wealth and may have more access to resources, but they are fucked up too. Gods of men, and most of them walk around like their shit don't stink. It's all about humility. But their fame comes with a certain arrogance to a degree. We make gods out of these people. I just couldn't understand why this podcast couldn't happen. I'm not in the realm of celebrity, so I can't possibly fathom the inner workings of a celebrity's world. I had to write this, bro. Be the example. Be different. Be you. Be water. Be the bottle. I would be crushed if I met Mike Jordan and he shitted on me. We have to put it in perspective that these celebrities are only people. The nigga with the slave name has spoken. And Aries, hold your head up, nigga. Andy, be cool, my nigga. Yeah, and if you listen to this this past Wednesday, yeah, we totally dove in deep about the Mike Tyson shit. So yeah, brother, I concur with everything you said, and who knows, maybe it will happen in the future. Maybe it won't. Tis his life.
I like that he felt your loss, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hadn't talked about it or anything. You just put out that post, and right. Some people just felt, you know, let you know how they would feel if it happened to them.
Yeah, and again, like I said, I got a lot of those posts in support. So I appreciate it. I understand where you're coming from, and that's why I try to be as humble as I can, even though I be on my bullshit too sometime. But yeah, man, I try to be as humble as I can. And I know what you mean about Mike Jordan, because as much as I love Mike Jordan, as much as I love Mike Tyson, if I ever, like I said, if I ever met Mike and he shitting on me, I'd be so crushed, I'd lie. This is why LeBron is better than you. No, I don't mean that shit, but I'm hurt. So there it is.
Let me ask you this question, because I didn't ask you this on that. If the reason it didn't happen because Tyson was just in a bad mood, it was just right. Not his day, and he decided that he would still do the podcast with you if at the end of the hour he got to punch you in the face and knock you out.
Oh, no.
Just man. So that he could feel, you know, so you get out that aggravation. Would you do the podcast then?
No, that would be ridiculously stupid. But what he should do is allow me to punch him in the face and a chance to knock him out.
For not
doing it. That would be worth it, nigga. I still don't know that I would do it, because I think his natural instinct and reflex would be to hit me back. And I like my organs and kidneys exactly where they are. You know, Mike hits you and shift all your shit around. So
he's still pretty quick. So by the time as your punch is just starting to connect.
Right.
He'd probably launch from there and still hit you.
I think Mike could finger pluck you and put you in a deep coma. So let's just leave all our body parts where they are. FFB332 Mob Williams. What up, ANA Arises. I was wondering if you saw the Patrice O'Neal documentary. I wish they would have an interview. It would have interview you about him. You always speak nothing but good shit about Patrice O'Neal. I wish he was here to see how the world has become pussy. He was one of a kind. And what did you think of what? Oh, right. Deborah Wilson said about why she left Mad TV. Nothing but love and respect for the pod. And nigga, you blocked me on IG33_2F_B for no reason. One thing about me, I grew up on you and have nothing but respect, so I would never go to your page with some bullshit. I respect the fucking legends, and you are one of them, and please bring back Paul Mooney Questions YouTube. Did I block you, dog? If I did, I don't know. Maybe I was on my Mike Tyson shit.
Could have been an accident. You know, it's easy to hit those buttons sometimes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Hit me back, and we get you back on the roster. Somebody sent me the article about that with Deborah, and I never knew that.
I didn't read it.
Oh, you knew of it?
I just heard about it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known if somebody didn't send it to me. I didn't know that was the reason she left. I thought she left because she just was ready to go.
What was the reason that she left?
Because she said that they weren't valuing her opinions and her ideas as much as everybody else. But most importantly, she was underpaid. They were giving raises to certain people. She said she wouldn't name the name, but she said one guy in particular. And I think I know who she's talking about.
Wasn't you?
Hell no, nigga. They keep all the niggas in the same shed, nigga. You know, we weren't nobody in the house. We was field Negroes. No, it wasn't me. But she said one guy in particular they gave a raise to, and obviously she had been there the longest. I think I was the second longest. And I never knew that. I thought we all got paid the same thing. But, you know, Hollywood, man, a lot of shit goes on. And that's why I say again, man, this business is cuckoo. But Deborah, you know, because I'm a gamer, Deborah does some work on video games. And matter of fact, her likeness was even on, I want to say Call of Duty. I know she did Far Cry. One of my other games I play, I'm forgetting the name, the zombie game with the dude on a motorcycle.
Don't ask me, I don't play any games.
Yeah, I know. The one game, cool zombie game, like a Walking Dead. She's the voice on that. So I'm just happy my girl is still doing something, because I always said she was one of the ones that was among all of the cast that was extremely talented, that there's no way she shouldn't be out there. She's too fucking good. And one thing that the article pointed out is that, you know, Deborah was probably, up until they hired Maya Rudolph on SNL, and then because of all the shit that SNL was getting for their lack of Negroes on the show, then they went all out and said, let's get three black women going at once. And then we became Maya, Leslie Jones. I forget the third black lady's name. But, you know, when motherfuckers finally get enough flack, they overkill. So they went crazy and started, SNL started hiring niggas left and right. Saturday Night Live, starring Maya Rudolph, Leslie Jones, Kenan Thompson, and all the forced added new niggas. Yeah, man.
Well, because all shows at that time, you know, the predate SNL, and then even in your time, it was like one black dude, one black female at the most, right?
Yes.
At the most.
Yes, it was only Deborah. And then when Deborah left, pardon me, I forget the name of the other chick they hired. And then when she left, there was another new black chick they hired. So it was all in shifts. You know, it was never, we never had more than one black girl on at once. Me and Phil was on together, and before me, Phil and Orlando Jones. So the brothers, they had more than one, but the black women, they only had one.
So do you think it's like a white exec in a room looking at the other white execs going, man, have you seen any, you know, funny black folks, especially women? Have you seen any black funny women?
You know, I don't know if you're being serious with that question or trying to be funny, but that actually is a good question.
No, I'm being, I'm both. Really
think, I wonder, do they do that?
Well, because
they're out there. Are they just not wanting to look?
Well, then the response from the other white dude in the exec room would be I don't go to those places.
Right. And I don't even know if he's intentionally trying to be, I don't want to use the word racist, but when he goes, those places, that's almost like those people. He's not trying to be that, but he just is. Yeah.
Well, it's not like he would go, I don't hang out with black folks.
Right. Would be racist.
Yeah, he would go, I don't hang out. I don't go to those places.
Right.
I'm just imagining that's the inside of that room back then. Now, it's a little different. Now they go, well, we have to meet our quota.
Right. Yeah. Wait, that's too much black sass. 'Cause black women are sassy. That's too much black sass. Interesting. Someone wrote me on Instagram and asked me to read this. Where could they write in to have an email read? And of course, I gave him the email address. And then he sent me this email, which is fucking strange. First time emailer, King Ammo. Sup, Aries. This is RudyP1991 on Instagram. I'm going to keep it simple. Out of these adult cartoon shows, Family Guy, South Park, American Dad. And tell me if I'm tripping. If he means what I think he means. F for fuck, marry, or kill.
Yeah, fuck, marry, kill.
Wow, these are cartoon shows. Why would we fuck or marry or kill a cartoon?
That's the game, fuck, marry, kill.
Really?
Yeah.
But this doesn't make sense to me. We would fuck a cartoon or marry it or kill it.
Well, put yourself in a cartoon form. Which one would you fuck, marry, or kill?
Let me go get some weed. I guess I would fuck Family Guy, kill South Park, and marry American Dad. And you?
I'd marry South Park because that's where all the money's at.
Really? Is it?
Oh, well, they've done movies and that South Park has been running forever.
This nigga leads with his beak. Go ahead.
Family Guy, I just think is funny. So
you'd marry it?
Yeah, no, I'm marrying South Park because I want half the money.
Okay.
I'm fucking a Family Guy and American Dad. You know what? American Dad's funny. I just never.
I could never get into that. I could never.
I can watch. Like I said, I watch an episode.
I never understood the South Park craze.
South Park is funny. I think it was way ahead of what was going on.
Right.
So I mean, and those guys are funny. I mean, they're writing. And they're writing. They're able to take that South Park universe, mm-hmm. and they're able to talk about what's going on in our world, and they do a really good job of it and making it funny, but being real about it.
If I'm gonna watch animation, I have to be into the animation, and that animation to me was I could never get into the South Park animation.
Well, that animation was secondary, I think, to this, has always been secondary to the story.
Right.
And don't forget, that's coming after Beavis and Butthead, where the animation was way different.
Yes.
So.
Did you ever like Beavis and Butthead?
I love Beavis and Butthead. I really did. I thought they were like people that I knew from my high school.
But weren't they kind of the take on SNL's Wayne's World? Weren't they those guys?
No, I didn't really see him as that because Mike Judd had a way of connecting those characters to just those just like the towny kind of guys that hang out and smoke weed and, you know,
right.
watch TV. I thought they were fun, and you know he lost those characters to MTV. They bought him for nothing.
Right.
But I don't know that there was another medium that he could have at that time been able to get those guys out there like that.
Right.
But the biggest loss, if you were going to go to cartoons and we're going to go back into that day, was Ren and Stimpy. Ren and Stimpy had like this edge to it that nothing else had. And
I never watched that.
Yeah, that was.
Okay. Damn. All right.
Do you like SpongeBob?
Nah. And my kids would watch it and their mother would laugh at certain parts. That kind of where I guess all cartoons have subliminal adult messages.
Yeah, well, things that are over the head of the kids that are watching.
Right.
But SpongeBob, it kind of hung out there a little bit differently. And SpongeBob, when my son, when we really couldn't communicate with him well, when he was in, he was young and autistic and trying to figure out how we were connecting.
Right.
That really helped us. SpongeBob. Really? Yeah, SpongeBob. He was connected with SpongeBob. I mean, he recorded that. That's the only thing he would do. He'd record episodes. He'd remember. I never forget. We went to a restaurant. He didn't talk that much. He talked, but he wasn't social. Like he didn't interject a lot in the conversation. We went to this restaurant and they had the TV on. It was a quick service restaurant. They had a TV on and it was SpongeBob. And he's just repeating all the lines. He's repeating every character. He's saying word for word what they're saying. And the volume wasn't up loud. So it wasn't like he was repeating what they said. And he knew all the episodes. And that was what allowed us to connect. So that's why I like SpongeBob. But also, I believe the creator of that is on the spectrum.
I once fucked a fat bitch that was built like Patrick. All right.
How'd that feel? A spongy?
Yes. That was a squish sound. All right. For my boy, Mookie, and I believe this is in response to the picture that I sent him that I showed you about Gemma, because she has a My OnlyFans page where her pictures are a little bit more provocative. And God damn it, the panties this bitch has on, you zoom in on that monkey. Oh, my God. God, it is ready for the inception of a banana.
You don't follow anybody on that's pay for that, and then you get. But she's probably naked in those pictures.
And you know what? That would be the only reason for me to do that, because I really, all her pictures on Instagram, she never really shows her ass. She shows a side profile, but I want to see the booty from the back, like, you know, doggy style or on your side. Those are your only choices. This is my house. Remember where that's from? This Boy's Life. Robert De Niro's, Ellen Barkin, they just got married. They're fucking for the first time. She wants to do missionary because he's banging her doggy style. And she's like, no, let me out. No, please. He goes, no, I don't like the face. I don't want to see the face. And then she keeps being persistent. And as she tries to turn around in the missionary, he slams her head down in the bed. And he goes, doggy style on your side. Those are your only two options. So, yeah. This Boy's Life, one of the great movies by Leonardo DiCaprio and Robert De Niro. Oh.
Did you ever see this? Because did you ever see The Great Santini?
No, I don't think so.
They call it Flying Ace at one time, too. No. Check it out. It's a Robert De Niro movie. It's really good. It's an old school movie that he did.
It was another great Robert De Niro movie. I just watched.
Not Robert De Niro. I'm fucked up. I'm sorry. Who's the other guy in The Godfather? Is the Irish guy. He's the lawyer. He can't.
Robert Duvall.
Robert Duvall. That's who's the great Santini. Okay. I fucked up. Don't stop typing. I fucked up. I caught it.
But back to Robert De Niro. I watched it the other day. It was on cable. The Score.
Yeah, that's good.
With Edward Norton.
Yeah.
Any biggies? We any biggies? I want to see. Baby. That character that Edward
Norton. He really did that character. Yeah.
Who was the better retard, him or Dustin Hoffman?
He wasn't retarded in that movie. That's not retardation. That's
what? What is it?
It's autism, and his character had Edward Norton's character is that tic that you have. What's it called?
It's Tourette's.
Tourette's.
Oh, so I made a mistake.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. Bye-bye.
But both characters, I think that it was harder for Ed Norton because he had to be in that character and have those tics.
Right.
Well, Robert Redford could be, you know, it was about the lack of lines. And
right, he just repeated words. He repeated words.
But the way he didn't make eye contact, it was
rude. And he would look down.
Yeah,
yeah.
Excellent driver.
So Mookie says, Andy fucking buggin. God damn. Yeah, Andy. Sniff stepped on coke. I don't know what that means when they say stepped on coke. They mean literally you step on it?
No, it's good. That's when you add cut to coke so that you taking away its purity, but you do that so that you make more coke.
It's the feds. Everybody down on the ground. Now, don't you fucking move. We have a warrant. Where is Steinberg?
See, what's it called? Snowfall.
Yes.
They're using baby laxative.
Okay.
But that can fuck you up. So because it just does weird things. You use an acetol if you really want to cut it professionally. Use an acetol.
I have known Andy. Let me do whatever my Morgan Freeman was. I have known Andy. For almost 3 years. We've been doing this podcast for almost 3 years. Come to find out, Andy Steinberg is really Mr. White. Who knew that I've been married to a drug dealer?
Yeah. Without the money, I'm Mr. White.
A useless Jew. There's nothing more useless than a useless Jew. It's like a gun with no bullets. All right. Terrell Ingalls, good movie scenes. In the beginning of the Training Day movie, when Denzel, Alonzo, and Hawk Hoyt walk out the diner and get into the Caprice, Hoyt says, "Where's the office at?" "Back at the Vision." Denzel pauses and says, "You're in the office, baby." And that Dr. Dre feature Snoop Dogg, Still Dre song starts playing. Then Denzel hits the switches going up. Yeah, fire. that scene is absolutely. I remember when I saw that in the theater and that Dre music kicked in. Everybody was like, "Oh shit, that was a great scene."
You know what would be a fun thing to do for like our Patreon is that remember Science Fiction Theater 2000 where mm-hmm. We should just have a movie. We couldn't show the movie, but we could have like our faces while we're watching the movie, and we could hear it in the background maybe a little bit,
right?
And you just us commenting as
that
it goes on.
That might be an idea.
Because certain movies I'd like to see again, but I don't want to review like right. Training Day.
Right. I don't know what this is. Deidre Ann Johnson sent me a link. I don't know. She just says Denzel. I don't know the context of what it is. So
I thought I saw it. I don't remember it, though. I don't remember what it was.
Let me read another one from Tori Ingalls since it's here. Because he says, Andy had me in tears. Terrell Ingalls, part two. Andy had me in tears. Hey, what's up, A&A? Here is an interesting fact about the Malcolm X movie before the actual letter. The scene when Denzel finally meets the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and he starts crying. I love that. You were a drug dealer and a hoodlum. Now you come to me. I used to be able to do that good.
That's pretty, it's still good.
Yeah. Just hours before filming that scene, he said his father, he laid his father to rest. And he couldn't hold himself together for that scene. And Denzel said it was befitting to cry when meeting the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now that is from an Omari Hardwick interview found on YouTube when he tells a story about when he went to Denzel's house after Omari's father got shot. On YouTube, just type Omari Hardwick talks Denzel and it should be the first one. Now, in the podcast episode 227, Aries, you mentioned that you would want to place all the sick and sadistic criminals on an island and have a hunter or hunters released so they could go out and kill them. They made me think of a movie Stone Cold Steve Austin was in called The Condemned. It was basically about a group of killers, criminals being released on this island by from what I can remember, either a television company or an internet company, and they will broadcast the carnage that will inevitably happen. They have to kill each other, and strapped to the ankle of each killer is an explosive device that will explode if tampered with. The last person alive is the person who will win his or her freedom. Next is Andy. When you guys started talking about the Night Stalker and how the first suspect had underwear in his apartment with cuts in the crotch, I literally died laughing when Andy said, "Now, this isn't word for word, but maybe he puts them on his head in the hole so he can breathe better." And when he asked you, Aries, what would you do if you got on an airplane and he was using them for a mask? Now, I drive semi-trucks for a living, and I literally almost killed someone because I was laughing so hard and couldn't see because my eyes watered like a motherfucker. Andy, sir, I must say it's a love-hate relationship with you. You're like the little brother that gets the older brother pissed because he sneaks in his room and starts breaking shit by accident. And later that week, they're both laughing together at something. I also want to mention that eye for an eye comment in regards to parents. There was a karate student that got molested by his karate instructor years back, maybe the 80s. And after the instructor got caught by the feds, they had him in cuffs as he was getting escorted by agents through a terminal of some sort. He was coming or going to court. I can't remember. As the instructor walked past these sets of payphones, a man turned around that was using one of them and shot the instructor point blank in the head, and he dropped immediately. I remember this. No slow falling movie theatrics. It was the father. After he got arrested, he only did, I believe, 5 years of probation. After this case, the court started being more stern on these revenge-type killings. The video might be on YouTube. I have more, but I think this is long enough. I rarely write in, so I'm trying to get mine off when I can. Good job with the podcast, you guys. I've heard all the episodes, and I look forward to y'all every week. I was listening to some old ones to give me my fix. All right, y'all, I'm out. Oh, and Andy, stay out of my motherfucking room. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. I don't remember. I didn't remember the details like that, but yeah, I do remember.
I remember he.
I didn't know it was at the phone back. Yeah. And then he killed him. But yeah, they had to put extra the juries, there has to be a minimum sentence or something that the judge enforces, because the juries, if you they can prove that he molested your kid,
mm-hmm.
there's no way that they're going to send that person to prison for murder.
I wouldn't think he would. Well, yeah, but they said he got 5 years probation.
Probation.
So he never went to jail.
No, so that they made it because otherwise people would just start, you know, just doing.
But ultimately, isn't it up to a jury still?
No, the when you have minimums, the judge has to enforce the minimums. And, really? And the judge can throw out, like, if you, like, a lot of times, like,
sometimes. But you still got to have a trial.
Yeah.
And if they find you not guilty, you walk.
They'd have to find you not guilty, though. But if you have a video and he's shooting him, he's guilty of it. Now it's what, how he, how guilty, on what level of, was he mentally incapacitated at the time? Did he not have his wits about him? Could he prove that he was temporarily insane and that's why?
So let me make sure I understand this. If they have a video, smoking gun, straight up, you killed somebody, no doubt, you still get to have a trial.
Yeah.
And if they find you not guilty, you walk. Or
they
no.
can't. They can't find you not guilty. There's no way they can not find
what,
you.
What if the jury sympathizes and goes?
He's still guilty. That's the thing, though. It's. You still have to put a guilty verdict, and then there's minimums, and that's how the judge can come in and enforce the minimums.
So you still can go to jail.
Yeah.
Oh, this is fucked up.
Because you're going to be found guilty. There's no guilt. There's, you know, you admit it. I did it. I killed him. Now what's the level of punishment?
Okay, but the when you watch the, I forget what documentary it is on Netflix. I think it's 1992 L.A. When you watch that documentary about Rodney King, but on a side story, they show you the story about the black teenage girl who went into the Korean liquor store, and on camera, the lady, the older Korean lady of this owner of the store, shoot the black girl point blank in the head as she's walking away from the back, and the judge gave her probation.
Yeah, and he shouldn't have
let her go.
And he shouldn't have. Because he there was no justification that shooting. What was it? That she was shoplifting and she was trying to stop her from shoplifting?
No, she wasn't shoplifting. They had a beef over orange juice. And the black girl was willing to pay for it, or was gonna pay for it, or paid for it, or something, and she snatched the orange juice away from the Korean lady and walked away after they had a little
thing. But I thought that Korean lady had said that she had suspected her or something before.
Well, they always suspect us is doing shit.
So, but yeah, that no, you can't just shoot someone. I don't understand. This is. Remember when I said it's not the system; it's the people that enforce the system is the problem.
So the fact that she shot the girl and she should have gone to jail and she didn't and only got probation. You know what they call that?
Ridiculous.
No.
What?
That discrimination.
Dude, I don't want to laugh because it's a serious subject, but yeah, that's funny. But Jesus Christ, how do you justify lethal force over orange juice? I mean, there's no way, and then the judge gives that.
Niggas have gotten killed for a lot less, Andy. Niggas have gotten killed for air, nigga. Breathing air for running from the goddamn police. Niggas have gotten killed for just waking up as your skin is your sin, nigga.
One of my favorite jokes ever that conveys what you and Paul Mooney were just talking about is that Chappelle one where he says, my house isn't that nice. It's just too nice for me.
Right.
They're going to come. The police are going to come. Right. And they're going to take him out. And then they go,
apparently this nigga broke in and hung up pictures of his family everywhere. That is such a great
line.
Let's bring some crack on him and get out of here.
I just love when he goes, it's not that it's too nice, it's just too nice for me.
Right.
Genius, man.
Yeah, dude is fucking, his mind is on several different levels at once. From Sean, what up? Talking about the little things, in my opinion, it didn't completely suck ass. Left you wondering if he was a killer or not. I don't think he was, though a lot of clues pointed to him being the guy. He was a repairman. The killer was a repairman because of all the victims had a broken fridge. Excuse me, one. The murder stopped when Jared Leto moved to Detroit. One of the cops on the scene said the killing looked like one in Illinois And the other cop corrects him and says, you mean Michigan. Number three, the medical examiner said one of the victim's final meal was roast beef. When Denzel is following him, he goes to a restaurant that's known for their roast beef, according to the sign outside. Four, Jared Leto was next to the mile marker on the side of the road.
Yeah, that's...
Rami said it was never in the news, but it went out over the scanner. All of that sounds good, but when Denzel broke into his house, he had a police scanner. When it went off, it scared Denzel. To me, it seems like he wants to be a killer, but doesn't have the balls to go through with it yet. I feel if he didn't die, he would have definitely become one. He kept telling the detective he wasn't a killer. He had plenty of time to go for his gun when he was digging the holes with his back turned. But what sealed the deal for me is the girl at the beginning of the movie. She was running from the killer and hiding in the brush. The brush. The camera shows the guy's face with the light behind him. The guy is clean shaven. The events of the movie take place a few days later. There's no way Jared Leto can grow that straggly long beard in a few days. Well, Andy might be able to answer beard questions. I think the director purposely left vague details that countered each other. Was it one of Denzel's best movies? Absolutely not. But it was okay to sit through.
Yeah, I feel like he did. All of the clues that he just gave are in that, like he said, are in that movie. That's what made it interesting. That's why I said when I went back and went over it again, I was like, okay, it's interesting. But it wasn't one of his best. But I think there's more to that movie than you gave it credit for.
I don't mind weird little twists and trying to make me figure some shit out. But, you know, also sum it up. Wrap it up. Make it make sense. Don't just leave me with some shit, some artsy type of shit for me to figure everything out.
Isn't that kind of like life, though?
Yeah, but we live life, and life is hard enough. Give me the fantasy for an hour and a half. And movies are supposed to help you escape life.
So do you remember the movie Inception?
I never saw that.
You never saw that? Oh, don't go see that. You'll be mad then.
Yeah, I know. It's that weird shit. Buildings turning upside down and all that. Yeah, I don't need a mushroom movie. Okay. Everett Venser. Spears and Steinberg questions. Hi, Aries. My name is EJ, and I've been a fan of the podcast since May 2020. I discovered you through Bobby Lee's podcast. What?
Sing.
I just hope that you two will do a podcast episode. Let me ask you, which do you think, if it's going to come at all, will come first? Bobby Lee and me, or Mike Tyson round two?
I think I really don't know, but I think you and Bobby Lee will eventually do a podcast together. I really do.
Okay. If he doesn't allow me to do his podcast, you know what that is?
That discrimination.
You actually said it the right way.
Did I say it the right way?
Discrimination.
I don't have an ear like that.
Nigga, think about your ears, about your racism.
Oh.
Fuck your ears. Get racist. That shit you did yesterday when you were on, that's black shit. That flowed, nigga. You was.
But there is stuff that's distinctly black shit. So
you was the Danielson. You was in Danielson Cobra Kai mode, nigga. That isn't, your focus was there.
That isn't race. That there's stuff that is black shit.
Yeah, but you said it like it came from your heart. It's the black shit. So when you come from a racist heart, it's easy to go that discrimination.
I'll work on it.
All right, work on your racism, nigga. we'll do a podcast. About, since he is a funny dude, and it would be great to have you two in a room together, whether it be on his podcast or yours, it would make for some great entertainment and would allow for you both to bury the hatchet. You guys could also do a boxing match since you guys both have the same body type. What the fuck does that mean, motherfucker?
Built
like Bobby Lee, nigga.
And the other one is, you know what Bobby Lee looks like because he takes his clothes off all the time.
Oh, I'm no prize, nigga. I am no fucking D'Angelo, nigga, in his prime. You guys could do it. Yeah, let's say the box message. Also, when you were mentioning Chris Rock's Chris Rock impressions, You forgot to mention Phil Lamar. He is a GOAT, as shown on the on what he did on Mad TV when you both did No Blacks on the TV Screen. Keep it up, you two. Keep it up, you two. And I hope to see more success and hopefully a stand-up show sometime soon in the L.A. Long Beach area. Yeah, me too, dog. $10, a lot of money. What was I going to say? Yo, Phil Lamar's impression isn't bad. And at the time, I hadn't seen Jay Farrow yet. I don't think Jay was really on the scene yet. And I didn't know Afion did Chris Rock. So I thought Phil Lamar's was incredible. But once you see Afion and Farrow, it's like I said, but with Denzel, me, and C. King, it changes things. Them niggas, Farrow and Afion, sound just like Chris Rock. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being Chris Rock for real, Afion and Jay is a fucking 9.5. I'd give Phil a hard 6.
You're very critical on the impressions, and you should be, because that's your wheelhouse.
About, it's all about accuracy.
Yeah. But when they bring up Bobby Lee, okay, a couple things. One, I know you want to do, but you would do Bobby Lee's podcast because of our podcast, and it helps each other out to do each other's podcast. But do you have another? Would you purposely want to do the podcast to bury the hatchet?
Absolutely, part of it.
Yeah. So there is that in there for
yes.
you.
Yes.
And my other question is, when you guys were on Mad TV together, did you have a relationship? I know we've talked about this a little bit, but did you have moments that were like good, positive things that happened in that time period on there? That you'd go, yeah, you know.
I mean, there might have been some playful moments here and there. Yeah. But we didn't work together much. Not because we can't put them two together. It never worked out that way.
Do you think it was because of the culmination?
Almost.
Almost. It's getting almost, better. It's getting better.
We got the cross in the ground. We just haven't lit it yet. But the cross is in the ground. It's soaked in gas. We just haven't lit it yet.
Dude, I while we say that, this has nothing to do with Bobby Lee thing. It's the discrimination thing. I played you. I just want to say this on the podcast.
Right.
When I was in, I forgot what city I was in. Mm-hmm. I think it was Kansas City. And there was a guy that was doing the announcements at the airport for one of the planes that was taking off. And I recorded it because it sounds exactly like what when you do the
partners.
The partners. Yeah.
You said partners.
Yeah, the partners.
The partners.
It sounds exactly the same. And I played it for you. It was so funny. I almost want to send it to Steve so he can put it at the end of this podcast.
Passenger, please also get 136. Flight 1819 Orlando will be closed. Message, please also get 136.
Is it still racist when it's true?
No. Again, all stereotypes have truthful racism in it.
But this is, I mean, this is so on point. I just felt like I was like, this. I know people might take them when we do that the wrong way, but it's reality.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. Ain't nothing wrong with a little slice of reality.
So I hope Bobby hears this, that you would like to bury it would be nice to do it.
Yeah, man. Listen, I got no ill will towards Bobby. Yeah.
But you guys, the relationship was different back then, too. You guys were working. Bobby was coming from a different place than you were coming on the thing. It would be good to hear that and see you guys as if you matured some.
Yeah, listen, man. When motherfuckers give me a shot, and I don't say this to be arrogant, but when motherfuckers give me a shot, and because this is what I do and I'm passionate about it and I love it, I rarely miss, nigga. You know what I mean? Especially anything funny.
At the end of the podcast, Bobby said, I'll do this with you, but at the end of the podcast, we both have to take off all our clothes and stand there in our underwear.
Yeah, I do it. Because it's comedy. It's comedy.
Bobby, there you go. It's thrown out to you now, for real.
But just know my dick is the size of Bobby's actual height. All right. I'm going to go to Mookie again. Oh, boy. Kulsh. Don't do it, Kulsh. I promise you, don't do it. He read two from Matthew Riggins, damn Tyson. You want the real, bro? I'm sorry you ain't get to chop it up with Mike Tyson. To keep it real with you, I don't know why the fuck he got a podcast. He's not a people person. When you announced it, I said to myself, I don't know, they might cancel that shit. But once I saw you with Zab Judah, I said, oh, it's on. He's going to really do Mike Tyson podcast. I listened to you campaign the fuck out of Tyson on numerous episodes, only if he knew that. I feel like Mike be coming at the wrong people. He went off on TK Kirkland a few episodes back, and TK was simply being a friend in that moment. Well, what's to meant to be is meant to be. Well, what's to meant to be? Mook, now you know goddamn better than this. Come on, son. We trained you better than this. What's to meant to be is meant to be. And I don't think he has the comedic space in his brain to hear your style of comedy and how you talk. I'll holler at you. Mookie, you know, I'm glad you mentioned the TK thing because I actually forgot to mention that. You know who TK Kirkland is?
Yeah.
So, first of all, and I'm going to be honest with you, when someone showed me the clip, I was like, God damn, man. TK got on and I can't. But I guess him and Mike, I guess, have some sort of a history. But at one point, and I don't know what the context was or was, but you didn't see the clip, right?
No, I didn't see it.
There's a moment where Mike Tyson is, again, a little emotional, and he's going on one of his rants, and he's like, I was a fucked up person, and I did this, and I'm a piece of shit. And TK simply just went, nah, Mike. And Mike goes, nigga, who the fuck are you to tell me? And first of all, I only say, it would have been interesting to see what the context was because the history with TK is TK stole Eddie Murphy's watch, his Rolex, and Charlie Murphy knocked him out in Eddie's house and TK was laying slump under the sink. TK's done some shiesty shit. He once stole one of P. Diddy's credit cards and ran up a bill. So that being said, I'm going... What did he say? Did he say something to Mike to get Mike on the rant so that the nah Mike was just the cherry on the ice cream? Or did Mike really just flip out because the nigga said nah Mike?
I don't know. I didn't see it. I didn't see it. But I don't agree with him when he says comic space on Tyson because I've seen some of parts of Tyson's one-man show. Tyson's mm-hmm. funny.
And he did the Hangover movies.
Yeah, he has timing. He's funny.
He can be.
He can't. That's the thing. That's the better way to say it. He can be funny.
I think Tyson is an unintentional funny. I don't think he's a professional funny where we know what we're doing. We purposely do things that we don't always hit the mark, but we pretty much know 9, 7 times out of 10, if we shooting a jumper, it's going in. Mike just swings in the dark, and if he hits funny, he hits funny.
Well, but in The Hangover, even the scene with the tiger... And he sent mm-hmm. it back together. He did a good job in that. It wasn't like a lot of times when they have like that, the cameo appearance, mm-hmm. you can tell the guy's just in there doing the reading mm-hmm. the lines. And mm-hmm. Mike was acting. Mike put it together.
But he also is protected by having funny people around him.
Yeah.
A great script, a great director who's going to guide him down funny. If you just said to Mike, no script, no one supporting you on your own, go.
Oh, that's a different story.
Yeah.
But his one-man show, he did well with that.
Right. And again, and that's what was also why I kept saying I wanted to have the dinner with Mike. Because I wanted to feel him out to go, he don't seem like he might go for this, what I might want to say.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm going. If the nigga just went, who the fuck is you to off of a nah Mike? And I say the wrong shit or ask the wrong question, then that's that interview, nigga.
Well, and that dinner, though, goes both ways because that gets him into understanding who you are and the flow that you right. have. And then so when if you said something like, nah, Mike, he might go, yeah, that makes right. That's different.
Right.
It's different because of who it's coming from.
Right. Deidre, I see the clip you sent me. Yeah, you were the one, Deidre Ann Johnson, that sent me the clip about Deborah. And obviously, we just talked about that. Thank you, Miss Deidre Ann Johnson. Oh, she has one here. Okay. Deidre Ann Johnson, episode 234, Big Pun Son. Hey, guys, another great episode. The musician you played at the end was so clever. I loved it. Kevin Hart has a podcast called Inside Jokes with Kevin Hart. I'm listening to the episode with Bill Burr. A little uncomfortable for Kevin. Bill Burr doesn't give a shit. Love that guy. Yeah, I we all do. We all respect him. Kevin really is like the Michael Jordan of comedy. That nigga protects his brand. I don't think he likes to do anything controversial, even when there's been some controversial things that happened in the news and he tweeted about it. It was some of the safest generic responses that celebrities give. It didn't feel, none of it ever felt personal. It's almost like his responses was how you see in those cartoons, like Bugs Bunny, the big Acme stamp. Bop! Like somebody just stamps his responses. You know, they don't feel personal.
But he does have a brand to protect, and his
absolutely,
and his brand is commercial. It's not. Yes. It's not like. Yeah. It's not a brand. It's not like a. It's Bill Burr. Let's just break this down just a little bit. Bill Burr's brand is Bill Burr, but it's him.
Mm-hmm.
It's strictly his sarcasm, his wit, his I don't give his a fuck.
Edge.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
Kevin. Whiskey.
Yeah. Kevin Hart's is. Commercial. It's about appealing to the masses.
Kevin Hart is Capri Sun, nigga,
and he has to keep it that way.
That's fine. That's you know.
And when the wheels come off that, because it seems like they eventually always do, then he can do whatever he wants to do. But at this point, I say, you know, protect that bag, man.
Yeah, man. You know, my brand is straight coca, uncut snowfall. Pure coca. Blue Magic. Like Pepsi, that's a brand name. And they know that as much as they know me as the owner of General Mills. Yeah. Maybe I should switch my brand up and go graham crackers and juice boxes. You know, couldn't hurt.
Yeah, it could.
Yeah, it could, right?
Yeah.
Right. Ramon Martinez. What's up, A&A? Enjoy the podcast and look forward to it every week. Just finished Night Stalker, and man, that Ramirez was a fucked up individual. I like the fact that I think sometimes we could mention something and people,
yeah,
like our opinions really matter. Oh, they sound, and I think that's a testament to the conversation. People go, yo, I'm going to check that out because these niggas make that shit sound interesting. Yeah, man. We could be pimps. We talk about the pussy we have in our stable and make niggas want to fuck it.
All right, Iceberg.
Yeah, go. Iceberg thick. I keep on thinking about when you said, if there is a God, how does he let this happen? So many people died from this one person, and he lived 2 decades after, then died in prison. I just don't get it. Anyway, this is for Aries, since Andy doesn't game. Please tell me you've seen the new Mortal Kombat trailer. If you haven't, check it out and let me know. I've been waiting a long time for this movie since the other guy got bashed pretty hard, but I love them both. Also, let me know what you thought of those ones as well. Stay up and be safe out there. Peace. Dude, I'm not really, I'm gonna tell you, as much as I game, I'm not a fan of video game movies. They really don't do nothing for me. And I remember maybe it fucked it up for me, but I remember when I saw the very first Mortal Kombat movie ever. Yes, I was young, so yes, I enjoyed it because I was young. But when you look back on it now, it does not hold the test of time. I think that was the one with Jean-Claude Van Damme. Oh, no, that was Street Fighter. They made a movie on the video game Street Fighter. That's the one Jean-Claude Van Damme was in. But the Mortal Kombat movie... and what's that actor? He was like the A-list B actor. Christopher Lambert?
Oh, yeah, the one who did...
I was going to say Kris Kristofferson, but I know who that is.
Christopher Lambert's the one who could only... There could only be one, right? That movie where there can only be one.
Yeah. He was the A-list B-list actor. When it came to B-movies, he was the top dude.
Didn't he do a Tarzan?
He might have. He might have. Did you enjoy the Tarzan movies?
No.
Yeah, why?
I don't know. I just didn't like them.
I don't like seeing a white man friends with the apes and the monkeys. It's amazing. When a white man is half naked with a leaf covering his dick, he can swing to the jungles and is respected by all the monkeys and the apes and the orangutans. But niggas had been associated with apes, monkeys, and orangutans since forever. But we can't go into the goddamn jungles. If we do, we get mauled. A white man can communicate with the monkeys.
But see, it is going to be a white dude that would be the king of the jungle.
Why?
Because black dudes, like you just said, we're not going to go fuck with that animal.
You're right. You're right.
So only a white dude, because think, remember in the 70s that that show, now I'm going to forget his name, the guy with all the animals, that he could talk to the animals.
Steve Irwin?
No, the guy with the big beard. This was like late 70s.
Oh, shit, you got me.
I've talked about this guy before. What the fuck is his name? Anyway, he had Dan Haggerty, but there was the name of the show that he was on. And he had all these animals, and he was an animal trainer, and he had bears that he just hung out with.
Mm. Yes, that's right. Niggas will not befriend an ape, but we will wear some silverback socks. A nigga will wear an orangutan hat and some silverback socks, but we are not fucking with a silverback nigga. Okay.
You know, look at the chick that went, Jane Goodall, that went to live with the apes.
Wasn't that a movie called Gorillas in the Mist with Sigourney Weaver? I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a white woman who went and did that.
Yeah. If white people treated niggas the way you treat animals, we would be in a better place. White women, you will suck a boar's dick, but will call the cops on a nigga for trying to help you across the street.
Where are you taking me? Why are you taking me from the street?
But you will suck a boar's dick and go, I can taste the ham. Got time for one more. This was like a speed round. We've been machine gunning through these motherfuckers. Jose Gardia, throwback. Hey, what's up, Aries and Andy? For some reason, when I was listening to the most recent podcast, I remembered that in one of the episodes, your daughter came in the room and threw out a long-ass curse word. I don't know exactly which episode it was, but I thought it was fucking hilarious. Would you mind telling me the episode number so I can go back and crack the fuck up? I just recall your baby saying a long-ass curse word and me thinking it was the funniest thing ever. Thanks again, man. Dude, I don't remember that episode. I don't remember the number.
I know we're at your house.
Yes, I know that so much.
It's from, I don't remember the...
Yeah, I couldn't give you a pinpoint accurate. But yeah, for a while, my daughter was Sam Jackson, nigga.
You thought that shit was so funny.
Oh, I think it's funny when kids curse, man, and do adult shit, you know. Shut the fuck, what would she say? Shut the fuck up, motherfucker. Get away, niggas. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
And she was so happy that she would look at you like.
Yeah, my daughter's half black, half Puerto Rican. She's bad, man. I mean, she is fucking bad, nigga. And she gets that. And it's crazy because I'm explosive in terms of my personality. And when I get angry, which I got from my father. But she's like her mother because her mother is me on steroids, nigga. And when we would fight, that's why shit didn't work out. That's why we had to, because when we would fight, nigga, cops get called, shit gets broken, doors get punched. You know, I got helicopters flying over my goddamn house. I'm in cuffs in front of the neighbors. It wasn't a good look. My daughter's explosive, man. She's a little, yeah. She's a drug dealer.
I love it. She's so cute. She's so cute. My favorite moment though with her was when she wanted some of my French fries.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you, and I know how you are. And I hurried.
I think I remember this. And I
just gave her a bunch of fries from out of my box. I just reached in and went like that real quick. And I knew what you were going to do.
Right.
And it was the funniest thing because, but you had this look on your face like,
Oh, man. Yeah. Okay. Well, there it is, boys and gals. Music time. This is from Drino Peso. Peso or Peso? P-E-S-O.
Peso.
Drino Peso. I think it's called Perfect Time. And his social is Drino Peso on Facebook. Ooh, shit. My father would always do that. He'd say, oh, shit. Whether he finished eating or finished fucking or farting. It was always, oh, shit. He finished eating. Oh, shit. And when the door was closed and I knew he was fucking my mother. Oh, shit.
My dad my stepdad had three things that always occurred at the same time in a row. He'd go start to take a piss. Then he'd fart, and then he'd go, God damn. And they happened just like that every time, every day, every morning. That's how you knew it was.
God damn. Your father was part black, old school black nigga. God damn. Oh, man.
He was an Italian dude from Detroit, man. That's who he was. That's
hilarious. Drino Peso on Facebook. And then on Instagram, it's Drino_Peso on Instagram. Check them out. The song is called Perfect Time. Show my man some love. We out, right?
That's it.
Do we have to announce where we're going to be? Are we?
When they're listening to this one, it will be next week. We'll be in.
We got off, right?
Yeah, we're off this week. You're not.
So that, yeah, this will be right
off, and then you're going to be listening to this one. We're going to be in. The following week we'll be at B-more, Baltimore.
Baltimore
at the Comedy Factory. Where is it? It's not. Is it actually? Where is the Comedy Factory? Do you know what? Is it in Baltimore? Or is it on the suburb? It's the Comedy
Baltimore.
Yeah, it's Comedy Factory. Look it up. We got some shows going on out there, and then. Later that month, we'll be in Columbus, but that is it for March.
Do you know what that noise was?
No, what was it?
Where are we going to be? Before Columbus?
That's the sounds you hear from Lexington Market.
Yeah, let me get some lemon meringue cake. What the fuck is that on the meringue? All right.
I'm going to get some of that ratatouille.
Yeah, let me get some of that ratatouille sausage. There's literally rat in the ratatouille sausage. All right.
Done.
Gotta give the boy points. He came all the way back from the dead to make this shindig happen. So, who's got a camera? Get one of you.
Give me some hair while she smoking the doja. Ain't how much time, so I hit on the sofa. Then it's right back to the grind, I can't slow up. Give me some rush from the store at the corner. Thinking about that, we're mad for Corona. Missing my brothers, I'm missing my soldiers. Mind still alive, shit, tell me stay focused. Grind every day, I gotta stay on it. Yeah, I be on the grind just like Tony. But 3 years just like I'm Kobe. Ain't believe it, and now it's hard not to notice. Might take a trip to the beach, I maybe go for the week. Yeah, I got some things on my mind, I need to go on retreat. Your mind, dollar signs. I've been on my grind. All my women fine, like some wine. She won't drop it down. Drink the new designs, and they rare. They one of a kind. Moves around the clock. I can't stop. I'm on perfect time. been on your mind, dollar signs. I've been on my grind, all my women fine, like some wine. She won't drop it down, drink the new designs, and they rare, they one of.
Can you feel it, baby?